You're watching Notepad with me, Ibrahim Sani. Every now and then, we'd like to speak to some small companies that are doing crazy things, fun things, and of course, doing new things that could impact market. Joining me in the studio today is Aizat Long, the CEO of Rotani. Aizat, thanks for taking the time to come all the way here. Let's talk a little bit more about Rotani. What is it all about?
Okay. Hi, Ibrahim. Thank you for having me here. Okay, Rotani started off as an agriculture company. Now today we shift into a beverage company, so we shift into the beverage market.
Okay, why did you guys start in the agriculture company before we jump into the whole pivoting into
okay,
beverage?
Okay, let me go back to my how it was started. So it was Rotani is one of the pandemic babies. So right after I finished my studies, I straight away started Rotani. And main reason I started with agriculture and plantation is because first is my passion. Growing up, I've always been close to nature. I've always go to the farm with my families. And it's like second nature to me. I'm used to it. And another reason is because of the market. So I've been doing a bit of research back then. And then there's a huge potential in pineapple plantation. So that's how me and my team started with plantation. And then the shift happened because we started selling juice. Just for fun.
Like pineapple juice?
Yeah, pineapple juice. Pineapple and lime. So it's cold pressed juice. No sugar, no water added.
Okay.
And then we started off for fun, and then we saw there's a big demand for it. We didn't realize at first, and after a while, we saw the potential, and then we had to choose. Like I had to choose only one. I can't be doing both.
Okay, so that means the pivoting happens because there's a greater demand in beverage. Mm-hmm. But wouldn't that mean that you are not controlling your supply chain? It'll be that you might be driving your cost up in beverages because you have to now purchase the raw material.
Okay, actually the plantation is currently ongoing still.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's more that before that we were doing trading. So we were doing plantation and trading. And then we stopped trading. So we go 100% juice and plantation.
So where's the plantation at?
Plantation is at Bukit Ceraka.
Oh, Jalan okay,
Bukit
Ceraka,
yeah. No, right. It's near Puncak Alam there.
Puncak
Alam. It's the other side of Bukit Ceraka, yeah.
Okay, so talk to me about the idea of, we'll get into the beverage business shortly, but it's not common for urban folks to try and enter plantation.
Yeah.
However, I have spoken to a few that has done it because they see the market potential of it.
Yes, true.
I understand that there's the passion of yours in this, but how do you rationalize the cost, the ability for you to try to find the sources, what kind of agencies that you're working with in terms of getting the
grants. Okay. So in terms of, again, I repeat, the potential is 100% there. So in terms of grant, agro banks offer a lot of grants. So that's where we try to approach them, and then we got the grant. So basically we get the seed, pineapple seed, 15,000 of them for free.
Really?
And then I am fortunate to have my family land about 3 acres in size.
Okay.
So I don't have to go and rent out a land or a space.
So the entire 3 acres is utilized?
Yeah, it's almost utilized, fully utilized. So we planted about 15,000 pineapples, and then in the meantime we also plant cash crops because pineapple takes about 14 to 16 months to harvest.
Okay.
So we need cash flow. So we decided to plant cash crops, for example, eggplants and chilies because we can harvest within 30 days, 20 days, 40 days.
Really?
Yeah.
So what about the know-how? I mean, it's one thing to get grants and seeds and all this, but
so
it's another
knowledge behind
Green thumb effect, you know what I mean?
So I chose to start hands-on because I know if I don't, I'm not afraid to make mistakes because when I first started, I was still quite young. So I feel like I have the time. So I started hands-on, so I started learning online and I find mentors to get me educated more about agriculture, especially pineapple. And to be honest with you, pineapple is not that hard to take care of.
Because I have no idea, by the way.
Yeah, pineapple is the same family as cactus. So you don't have to water it for a year, it can still survive.
No way.
Yeah. So
what about the soil?
The soil, what do you mean by the soil?
Is that a specific soil?
Basically, fertilizer? It grows well on mineral soil.
Okay.
But it also can grow in peat soil.
Okay.
And the most important part for pineapple trees is it is sensitive to water. So when you do the planning, you have to have a good drainage system.
You were talking about not afraid to make mistakes.
Yes,
what
correct.
What kind of mistakes did you make?
Oh, a lot of mistakes.
Talk to me.
Yeah, so from the planting side, from financial side, from marketing side, from recruiting like my staff. So I made mistakes like along the way, like too many times. And I learned from it. I feel like I'm thankful that I made the mistakes okay. at such an early age.
Okay, what about the issue of workers?
Gotcha.
A lot of plantations in Malaysia, not your size, bigger sizes,
true.
They are facing a lot of shortages because foreign workers are not being able to be sourced.
Yes, correct.
What about your case?
Because we are still quite small, so we don't have any issues with our workers. Like it's easy to recruit, especially within our area. Mm. People want to work there, so. Mm. So it's not really an issue for us, but I can understand once you grow bigger, you need more, and especially during pandemic, you can't bring in people from outside countries to be like labor workers, right?
Mm.
So yeah, definitely there's a problem for that, but for us, no, not yet. Currently, we are still okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
So while the plantation is there, so I can see you are diversifying your business.
Yes.
So you have the business of about close to 3 acres of planted pineapples.
Mm-hmm.
There's also cash crops.
Mm-hmm.
That is ongoing.
Yes, correct.
And then the pivoting towards beverages.
Beverage, correct.
Okay, let's talk more about that.
Okay.
What have you been doing?
Okay,
talk to me about the Billie Eilish event as well.
Okay, so let me start with our products. So currently we have two products, which is Pina Lima and Pina Meloin. Both are cold-pressed pineapple juice, and we added some flavor to it. So we put lime and we put watermelon.
Mm.
And pineapple and watermelon is our new flavor.
Mm.
Our best seller is Pina Lima. So the way we market our brand is fun and energetic.
Mm.
So our target market is actually the older generation, but we know on social media, it's mainly the younger generation.
Mm.
So we do both marketing, digital marketing and conventional marketing.
Mm.
So digital marketing is to attract new customers.
Mm.
Conventional marketing is to bring more customers in.
Okay, we'll talk about the marketing aspect
gotcha.
Right after the break. We'll be right back after these messages. Thanks for staying on with me. I have with me Aizat Long, the CEO of Brotani. We're talking about his entrepreneurial activities in marketing out beverages that is serving fresh juices. Okay, let's talk about the two segments that you're targeting.
Mm-hmm.
The digital marketing as well as the conventional marketing.
Yes.
What went through the process of you doing digital marketing? What were the lessons learned? How are you doing it now? And what do you think is going to succeed? Digital marketing first. Before
digital marketing, yeah. Okay, got you. Okay, I feel like social media is a powerful tool and it is underutilized by startups. I feel like startups should invest more in social media. And then the tactics that we implement for social media, digital marketing is we are heavy on social media marketing. So we are heavy on content creation. If you look at our Instagram, we'll be posting like 3-4 posts a day.
Mm.
And then also we try to understand the algorithm because it's all about the algorithm. So we try to understand what the audience wants to see, not what we want to see.
Okay.
Yeah, so that's how we try and error. We post a few things. And then we also look at other brands and then we try to take inspiration from them and then cater to our own target market.
Okay, so how do you learn the algorithm? Mm-hmm. What is the trend that you saw, say, for the past few weeks mm-hmm. in terms of what people want to see? Mm-hmm. And how do you insert yourself in terms of the trending element? Because not many people say things like that, right?
Mm-hmm.
Not what we want to show, but what people want
yes,
to see.
Mm-hmm.
So talk to us through the whole, you know, brass tacks of it.
Okay, so you can't really learn the algorithm because it keeps on changing every 2 weeks or a month or so. And what we try to do is we just try and error. So let's say we post a video or a content and it has many likes. So we're going to be posting the same thing in 2 months, but we try to change it in a different form.
Mm.
And then in terms of like the most engagement we get is from the videos, the Instagram Reels and TikToks as well.
Mm.
So we try to push out videos because we feel like the audience, they love to watch videos instead of just a normal post.
How do you differentiate in terms of time spent building content for TikTok and IG Reels?
Mm-hmm.
Do you feel that it's the same but different channel or specifically it is looking at different ways of doing it?
Oh, it's two different channels. First of all, the algorithm works different and then even the content that you post, it has to be in a different format. So TikTok is more transparent. You have to be real. You have to be authentic. Instagram is more commercialized a bit, I would say. And then in terms of time invested, we try to work smart by hiring social media influencers to do the content for us. Of course, we do a bit here and there, but sometimes we work together with social media influencers, we send our products, and they do it for us.
Is it hard working with IG influencers?
It depends on the kind of person, but most of the time, we are fortunate to get like the right kind of people, so it's easy to work with them.
And of course, some of them might not necessarily have that issue of pricing uniformity. So how do you arrive at the price that is both agreeable?
Okay, so we target micro-influencers, not influencers.
So what constitutes as a micro-influencer?
Micro-influencers are mainly, for us, we describe them as people who has less than 10K followers, but with good engagement. Some people can have like 100K followers, but the engagement is not that great. So we try to filter out, okay, so micro-influencers are the ones less than 10K, and then we look at their engagement, look at their views, their comments, how they interact with their audience. So that's how we pick and choose our social media influencers.
Is it also trial and error? Do you reuse the same influencer for some campaigns, or do you continuously find
Yeah, we try to avoid as much as we can because we want to bring in a lot of faces into our brand. Mm. But if there's a good talent like that we work with, of course, we would love to work together with him or her in the future.
Okay. Yeah. Now, falling back to the whole idea of IG and TikTok, you were talking to me about how TikTok, they would appreciate a little bit more authenticity.
Yes, correct.
And a little bit more realism in
yes,
it.
Yes, correct.
And IG is a little bit more commercialized or curated, I would call
it. Yeah, curated.
So, how do you know this is the ingredient for either one?
Honestly, I've been watching a lot of YouTube videos. I even watch your videos online when you ask the entrepreneurs. So I take their advice.
Thank you very much.
I take their advice and then, basically through learning through online, mainly online. Because these things, even though I did marketing for my postgraduate and undergraduate, we don't learn this in uni. So we have to
learn. None of this is in uni.
This is something new.
Nobody teaches us this thing.
Yeah, true. So I feel like...
And it's kind of strange if you have a Bachelor of TikTok or something like that, right? Yeah. So you would always have some generic stuff, that's for business administration or whatever, and then you do this. But the real life application is something else.
Yeah, so that's why we try to learn from other founders as well. And most of the time, it's YouTube. Yeah, so YouTube is the key to success.
You are the first person in so many months to tell me YouTube is still relevant.
Oh, really?
Yeah, a lot of people have dropped YouTube.
Oh, okay.
Honestly. I mean, they have moved to social media videos. That is consistent with your conversation with my other people that come on my show. Mm-hmm. But I think you are the first person in recent months to talk to me about the relevancy of YouTube.
Yeah, I understand your point, but I feel like for me, when I watch YouTube, it's not just like short clips. Most of the time, I watch podcasts. So, like, it's a longer kind of video.
Podcast plus video.
Yeah, plus video, because I prefer to look at how they speak. And sometimes it's different when you listen to, like, Spotify.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
Okay, so because of this, do you feel that YouTube still has a future in terms of getting information versus marketing element? So you see, the way you tell me is that IG and TikTok is being used for you for marketing.
Yes, correct.
YouTube is now talking about more of knowledge base.
Yes, correct.
Is that a clear depiction of what you're trying to express here?
Yes, correct. So from my side, I feel like YouTube is, for me, is more educational platform for me. Mm. So that's how I utilize YouTube. So that's where I learn most of my stuff. And also, I try to watch as many podcasts as I can related to like the juice industry or the like, entrepreneurs in general.
One thing new that I learned today with you is that you are putting a high relevancy of podcast plus video. Why do you feel that's the case? What's wrong with just audio?
Oh, yeah. Personally, I just love looking at like people talking.
Right?
Yeah.
So what kind of knowledge base that you're taking in terms of the YouTube?
A lot of things. So I watch a lot of Gary Vee's videos and a lot of podcasts. And then I feel like I learn through their... So they share their mistakes. So I try to avoid making their mistakes.
Okay.
Yeah. And then I love listening to people's entrepreneurs' experience and what they did before when they were small. So I take inspiration from there.
Okay. Going back to digital marketing... Mm-hmm. I don't know whether you want to share with me your exact numbers, but maybe percentages of the marketing budget that you have.
Okay.
In terms of digital versus conventional, how would you place the percentages?
Okay, so digital is 10 to 20%, depends on the month. Let's say if we have promotions, we would be running ads, so it's 20%. If it's a slow month, we would be spending 10% of revenue into marketing.
10% of revenue into marketing?
Because we want to...
20% even?
20% depends on the month. So if we have promo, we blast marketing.
Do you have a marketing calendar?
Yes, but we do it monthly on a monthly basis.
Okay.
Yes.
Also on this, how much relevancy do you place on top of other platforms other than, say, IG Reels specifically and TikTok? What about Facebook? What about Twitter? Yeah. What about other stuff I don't know of?
Okay. So Twitter, we're not really invested in it, but Facebook, we do. We do have an account, but honestly, we're not that active there. But I feel like it's underutilized. So I need to learn more about Facebook.
Okay.
Yeah, and definitely then how, it's underutilized.
How do you track translation or conversion rates into sales from the marketing spend that you do on digital marketing?
Okay, so okay, let me take a step back. So for us in at Brutani, we don't consider marketing equates to sales. For us, marketing is more of creating awareness. When it comes to sales, we focus on the ground sales.
Okay, we'll talk about the conventional marketing very shortly.
Yes.
Okay. But for now, stay on the idea.
Okay. So how do we see the conversion, right? So when we do like paid advertisements, we can get like the you can see the insights. So how many people click, and then how many people message, and then we can know how many the people that message us if they order the juice. So we can roughly see the conversion rate there. It's not accurate, but at least we can see.
Do you feel that young people have better, I guess, acumen to on this rather than, say, older people? Your team, for instance, are they young? Are they old?
Yeah, my team, I'm the oldest in my team. I'm 27. Most of my team are 22, 23.
Okay.
Yeah. So they know...
I feel ancient.
Nah, we're still young though.
Dude, 27 means the oldest in the team. That means there's a...
Yeah, we're a brand new company, so...
No, hang on. But you're doing the right thing, right? You're bringing the average age of people doing digital marketing.
Digital marketing. Yes, correct. So, definitely they know more about like social media about me. Because
and you're 27 and I'm pretty sure you know more about me, a lot than me, for instance.
Yeah, I hope so. I don't know, like...
Okay, so what value do they bring?
Oh, they bring a lot of value. My team is the one of the main reasons that we are here today. Like, they... For them, social media is part of their life. So they know like this is their second nature, social media. And they know all the trends that's going on. And they will update me, okay, so this is the kind of trends that people want to see. And then we try and iterate from there.
Do you feel that the brand building that you're making and the awareness that you're making, the 10% or 20% of your revenue that you spend every month, is worth it? It's a lot of money.
Yeah, I feel like we
should... Unless your revenue is 10 ringgit a month, then okay, 2 ringgit is nothing. But
yeah, I feel like we should be spending more on marketing.
Whoa, hang on. Yeah. Really?
Yeah, definitely.
So what would be the ideal or desired target then?
30%? Normally, they say 50%.
50% of your revenue on this?
Yeah, direct consumer. Yeah.
D2C businesses is one thing, but...
Yeah, that's what I try to. Because I was just reading about Red Bull. They are...
Yeah.
They are a marketing company, so they spend a lot. So I take inspiration from there. I feel like 10% is not that much. I feel like we should like amplify it more. So, yeah.
Wow. Okay. Sorry. Okay. Yeah. We'll go for one more short break. When we come back, we'll discuss a bit more with Izzat Loam of Brutani. Thanks for your staying on with us. I have with me Izzat Loam. Let's talk about the Red Bull marketing angle.
Correct.
Because there's a few extreme sports people that I follow on Instagram. One of them is Maya Kutskaya, if I'm not mistaken, that's how I pronounce the name. She's a skydiver.
Oh, yeah.
And
I think, Polish girl?
Polish girl, that's right. And she always wears the Red Bull helmet. Yeah. I'm pretty sure it's contractual. But that's crazy. That's the whole point of Red Bull.
Yes.
And, you know, I don't know whether I'm on a smearing campaign with Red Bull, but they sell sugar water.
Yes, correct.
But the way they equate, you know, extreme sports, you know, the whole getting out there, you know, that kind of persona.
Yes.
They equate that with Red Bull. And on top of that, you know, football clubs are big sponsors.
Yeah.
You know, RB Salzburg, for instance, anymore. F1 Racing, you name it. The amount of marketing spend that they do, I can only imagine. Right?
Yes, correct.
So what lessons do you think that you can take from this kind of brands, for instance?
Okay, so I feel like from this kind of brand, we learned that marketing is a powerful tool. So we should really utilize all platforms if possible. It can be digital, it can be conventional. Like Red Bull, they do digital, they post a lot of contents, and they also do like conventional stuff. They go on the ground, they buy a football club, they buy a NASCAR team, F1 team. So, and then they integrate both. So they use this as their contents. So I feel like we should utilize both as they did in their marketing strategy.
Okay, let's now move on to the most important thing of your activity, I guess. Conversion into sales.
Yes, correct.
It's boring. Conventional marketing is just old,
yes,
I suppose. But it does translate to sales.
Yes, correct.
So how do we marry this whole notion of boring but sales? I mean, you have to sell. I mean, yes, you're an entity.
So for us, like conventional marketing is not that boring because we join a lot of events.
Like Billie Eilish concert.
Like Billie Eilish concert. So that is not boring for us, especially my staff. They really enjoyed Billie Eilish concert.
And who wouldn't enjoy? My daughter went to Billie Eilish. She came back. She can't stop talking about it. I have to lock her up in a room and just stay quiet.
Yeah, true. So Bieber's like, coming. Bieber's going to be here in November. So it's going to be another event.
Okay. Yeah. Hang on. Right. So you open up a booth at the Billie Eilish concert.
Yes. So, okay, let me tell you about the sales there. Mm. So we had to restock twice. We managed to sell about 1,000 bottles within 2 hours. So even though it's boring for some to be on the ground and selling, it's not, how do I say, it's not glamorous.
It's not sexy.
Yeah, it's not sexy. It's not like online. It's not up to date.
Yeah.
But we can manage to sell about 1,000 bottles within 2 hours. And then it works. At the end of the day, it works. And after 1 year plus of lockdown, people want to go out and it's the first concert. So people will be like, all over like the events.
The nature of your business, it would be on ground events rather than say, for instance, online delivery. Am I right?
Oh, it's 50-50 actually. Oh. When we do promo, it's 100% on like online. We only focus on online.
Okay, but the purchasing point, I suppose. Yeah.
Yeah, it is still 50-50 actually.
So people don't go to GrabFood or Shopee or Shopee Food or whatever to buy your stuff, right?
Yeah, they purchase by sending us a message and they can also go to the website.
Okay.
Yes.
Does that conversion take a lot in terms of the revenue share?
Oh, nah. When we have promos going on, there's a lot, 50-50. Okay. But most of the time, it's mainly on events.
Okay.
Yes.
Taking the discussion forward, what's the trend? How would you grow as a company?
Okay. It's the same question as how do we scale the company?
That's right.
Yes, okay. So we are supplying, we are offering fresh juice, cold pressed juice. There's no preservative. So we can't scale our product. We have to scale our business by opening a shop, like juice bar.
Okay.
So now, instead of opening a juice bar first and then create your own brand, now we are doing it the other way around. We have our brand online first, then we open our juice bar. So in order to scale, we have to have our juice bar across the country.
So what's the plan in now terms of financing, I suppose?
Okay, now...
I mean, AgroBank can only help so much,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, true. And yeah, we are looking to sub-rent. So we are planning to rent inside a grocery store.
It's fine. Yeah. But that's the
plan. So we want to cut costs. We don't want to rent the whole lot. So what we have an idea is to just sub-rent, like rent a portion of the lot.
Okay.
Yeah.
The idea of hiring people is, of course, not just to build the competency, not just to build the operational requirements of the company, but to build competency in the long run.
Yes.
The way people look at it is that the conventional wisdom, younger people are fleeting in terms of their loyalty to the brand and the company, and you might be able to lose them after, I guess, training them after the same time.
Yes.
How do you view this topic?
Okay, I feel like this topic is a bit controversial, but honestly, if you take a good care of your staff and employees, they would stay. So far, I've been fortunate to have a good team behind me, as I said before, and I try to reward them as much as I can, especially the younger generation. They want like validation. So
okay,
they need validation.
Baru nak cakap.
Yeah.
What kind of reward?
Reward like...
Cause my generation, give me money.
Yeah, yeah.
But that's not necessarily the case, right?
I feel nowadays, it's more experience. So let's say, like 2 weeks ago, we were at Melaka for a Rio event. And then after that, I brought them to for a short holiday. And even we are going to Penang in 2 weeks, I'm planning to bring them for a short holiday because they enjoyed more on sharing online. So they want that experience. They don't really care about the money. In fact, they pick and choose work based on what they enjoy the work instead of the money. That's the new trend that I'm currently seeing. Maybe it's just within my team, but I'm not sure.
No, this is consistent with my other conversations.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I think that's the new trend nowadays. If you can offer them an experience, they would really stay with you and treat them well. You always have to validate them. So if they did something great, you have to tell them, okay, yeah, good job. And yeah, all that small things plays a big factor in maintaining your employees at this day and age.
When you say reward them,
yeah,
say through validation, what are the rewards are we talking about?
Compliments. I feel like they say...
What about corrective measures? They screw up, what do you do?
Yeah, so you have to... You can't just let it pass.
People...
Yeah,
exactly,
because
right?
It's cost. Like, it would cost the business, right?
So can they take criticism?
They can, but you have to... Depends on the kind of person. You have to... You can't be speaking in one tone to every single one. You have to know... Like,
so the man management is...
Yeah, so it's very
tip top. Has to be.
It has to be. If you want to maintain your employees.
Isn't that a lot of work? I mean, you're trying to do a business as well.
Yeah,
you're trying to get a booth at Justin Bieber or whatever.
True. But I feel like my employees are my assets. So that's why I, why wouldn't I invest in my employees, because they will make my company grow bigger. So that's how I look at it. And in fact, they're the ones who are like getting more opportunities, bringing in more opportunities for the company. So I feel like, okay, if I invest more in them, they will invest back in the company. So that's how I look at the situation right now. But of course, it is like work, extra work you have to put in.
Well, yeah. You're right. Investing in assets, right?
Yes.
Okay, it's amazing. Okay. All right, that was our conversation with Azad Long. If you missed any part of this interview, just head on to astroani.com. Look for Brotani, B-R-O-T-A-N-I. You're not going to change the name, to Bro Juice or something like that.
Nah, we'll
what's with the bro anyway?
Bro is, yeah, it's bro. Why not? I'm a bro, right? I'm a guy, yeah.
Right, okay. If you want to learn more about the business, check out Brotani on all their social sites. Also, there are a lot of interviews like this that can be found on all our sites as well, on astroani.com. Till then, thanks so much for watching. Catch you in the next one.